Now on Tuesday, Tuesdays we do like to talk tech, find out what's happening in the world of gadgetry and the internet and all these sorts of things. Often privacy becomes part of the conversation, and one of our regular people to talk about such things is with us, Stilgarian, writer for ZDNet and Crikey, among others, and the Drum from time to time too. Hello, Stil.
Hello, Dom.
Now, I remember that movie Minority Report where Tom Cruise walks around as the police chief for Anderson, I think his name was, and all the ads jump out in 3D holograms and sort of say, John Anderson, and pitch to him and know who he is. And it's kind of cool, but kind of scary as well. Now, I gather we're getting closer and closer to that point in our world.
We have the technology, Dom. We have the technology, or at least we're getting very, very close to it. And as you said, I'm interested in privacy issues and how this changes the world. And I'm not one of the tinfoil hat people. I don't automatically think that this is a terrible, terrible thing.
I can confirm he does not have a tinfoil hat on.
Underpants is another issue, of
course.
Fair enough. But I always have the question mark over all of that of have we thought this through, or are we in fact aware of what's going on?
Well, the other thing is that a lot of these things happen in the background and you just don't know until suddenly something pops up and it's perhaps a little disconcerting.
Yeah, look, people I think are already familiar with the phenomenon of you search for something on your favourite search engine, say you search for holidays in Queensland.
Mm.
And for the next 3 or 4 weeks, so many websites you visit have got ads for hotels in Queensland, cheap flights to Queensland, adventure holidays in Queensland.
So, yeah, so they'll profile you as the sort of person that wants to go to Queensland, and that's it. Your online life is over. Start again.
That's right. And how that works, we're kind of used to that, in that so many websites sell ads courtesy, say, of Google,
yep,
which means that all of those ads on all of those websites are connected in some deep, dark way back to Google, so it can keep showing you ads that you're supposedly interested in. I think the most frustrating thing for me about this at the moment is that quite often I've searched for something and bought it that day.
And you're done.
And I'm done. I really don't need to see the ads anymore. I've bought the thing. I've loved the thing. I'm having great amounts of pleasure with the thing. I don't need to see the ad anymore.
And that's just wasting everyone's time. Price than you paid.
That would be extremely frustrating.
But you'll be shopping for things and they'll email you a few days later. The site will go, look, we just noticed you're browsing for this. Have you looked at this special or whatever it is? But also, isn't it true to say that a lot of sites now use Facebook? And actually, if you log in another tab on your Facebook, as many of us are, and you know we use it for this show, for instance, it's building up a profile of you, and it will know your name, and suddenly you'll get it's not just tracking your habits, it actually knows who you are.
That's right, and this works even if you don't have a Facebook account, because any site that has a Facebook like button on it, even if you're not logged into Facebook, Facebook knows that you visited that site, and it can track you from site to site with technology called a cookie, and it doesn't know that that's you, Dom Knight, because you haven't logged into Facebook at that instance, but it knows you as human being number 218473, and it eventually figures out, it really doesn't care who you are.
So but it's still it does, profiling you.
Yeah, it cares very much that you're interested in that holiday in Queensland. You've started to look at a mid-range sedan, so maybe you're thinking of buying a car soon. You were looking at high school, so does this mean that you've got a kid who's about to go from primary school to high school? Well, there's a lot of stuff you'll need to buy at that point.
Well, people know, a lot of friends of mine who are sort of young parents know that as soon as you start putting baby pictures up, suddenly it unleashes a torrent of, nappy ads and all these
sorts
of things.
Absolutely.
Stilgarian's with us talking tech. Now, Stil, what happens when you take these cookies, these profiles, these little pictures that the advertisers build up of us and that these big sites that sell advertising build of us, what happens when you counter that with a phone that knows where we are?
Well, that gets even more interesting, because it can actually start tracking your location down to a few metres. Now, there's a reason that shopping malls really want you to use their free Wi-Fi, because as soon as you click a button and say, yes, use the Wi-Fi, you're probably agreeing to a whole lot of tracking within the store.
Do we read every single word of those contracts, or do we just click, yes, agree, give me the free Wi-Fi?
I wish I had a link there. There was a guy last month who wrote a feature article. He said, right, Monday morning when I get up, before I do anything, I will read every single word of the terms and conditions of everything before I click OK.
And then it was Friday afternoon and you hadn't done anything else.
Pretty much. Mm. It just took a phenomenal amount of time. But there is a whole genre of technology now called in-store retail tracking. So once your phone has been identified to the shopping centre, and once that's been linked somehow to either your email address or your telephone number, and from there, you know, game over, they know exactly who you are, they can start tracking your movements around the store. So some of the things I've heard about at conferences over the last few months are things like, let's say you paused in front of the chocolate aisle, and then supermarket, and then go, no, I'm walking away. As you're walking away, your phone buzzes and it says, just for you, 20% off all chocolate for the next 5 minutes.
It's freaky, isn't it? John Anderton, I'm keen to know if you've got any experience of this, if you've had ads pitched at you and how you felt about that as well. 1-300-222-702, 1-300-222-702. And I'm noticing increasingly still with the phone that I use, often the laps will pop up if you're near an outlet of the store. And on the one hand, that might be convenient because some of the apps you can sort of use in the place. But otherwise, you're sort of going, I don't want you to just monitor where I am and work out if I'm near your outlet.
Yeah,
it's not your business.
See, again, people think about the GPS and they go, okay, if I turn off the satellite navigation, the phone company or the trackers don't know where I am. But your phone still broadcasts its identity because it has to connect to the phone network. Mm. It's probably also broadcasting its Wi-Fi identity, its Bluetooth identity, and other bits and pieces. So, again, as you walk past a store, again, they don't care who you are. It's just the fact that here is a new phone that is walked past the store, and, oh, here's a potential new customer. So it's the electronic equivalent of those hawkers who used to stand outside of shops and go, you, sir, would you like to come in now? Yeah, we'll give you, come on, have a look at this T-shirt.
Bargains. Always had English accents for some reason.
Why is that? This is
I
one of the great
know.
Mysteries.
I don't know.
So kind of one of the things that happened recently at the conference, Mikko Hipponen is chief research officer for a Finnish information security company called F-Secure, and he said, if you've got a Facebook account, if you've got a Twitter account, go over to the advertising tab, log in, and buy an ad. He said, like, choose a few dollars, you don't even have to buy the ad, just start clicking down through the options for how you want to target your ad.
Yeah.
And you suddenly go, oh yeah, I want to target it at people in Sydney, and then I want to target it age 25 to 35, whatever it might be. In the United States, where Twitter is the one I looked at just the other day, where they obviously have a much more mature, shall we say, relationship with the data broker companies, you can actually drill down to say, are they a Democrat voter? Are they in a category called fit moms?
Oh, my gosh.
And they can then, because people give away their shopping lists through loyalty schemes, and I won't name them, but we all know what they are in the mythical pursuit of one day you might have enough loyalty points to be able to fly somewhere, you can actually choose to target people by which brand of breakfast cereal they buy.
Wow.
And you can then go, here's what you could do. And I sat around with a couple of people and we thought up a few very quickly. You're a fit mom in this demographic category based on your shopping list and lifestyle. You've got primary school age children and you're buying a certain brand of extremely sugary breakfast cereal.
Yes.
How about when you're in the supermarket next, as you walk into the breakfast food aisle, again, your phone just goes, buzz, have you thought of a healthy alternative just to your left, second shelf?
That really is a bit nice, isn't it? 1-300-222-702. Still Gary, you're talking about privacy and advertising. Now, we'll take some calls in a sec, but before we do, Still, you mentioned two words, data brokers.
Yes.
These big clearinghouses of us, really. How does it work?
These places have been around long before the internet. They did it all back in the days of punched cards and collecting information. But whenever you see You know, you fill out some sort of questionnaire. Something pops up on a website and says, oh, would you mind just answering a few questions just for research purposes? Or would you like to fill out, you know, what your preferences are here? Or would you entered a competition. Would you like to just tick a few boxes about your age, your gender, your marital status, you know, your income levels, all of that? These companies, and there's three or four, Axiom is one, Datalogix is another, there's about four or five of them, big global ones. They also just buy up data from all sorts of places. Did your credit card company say that they would share data with their trusted partners? Or one of those trusted partners is compiling your credit risk profile. So, again, these companies do that kind of thing. They work with the banks and say, look, do we really want to loan Dom Knight $20 million to buy that Point Piper home?
Is that how they know?
They know. Right. But they also do stuff from your shopping list. So if you have traditionally brought premium brands of coffee and prime cuts of meat from the butcher section of the supermarket, and then suddenly you switch to kind of mid to low price alternatives, that's suddenly a signal that maybe you're not good for your loan anymore.
Oh my, that really is horrible, isn't it? Stilgarian's here, 1-300-222-702. Let's have a word to Andrew. He's on the line from Surrey Hills. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, guys.
G'day, Andrew.
G'day. What can you tell me about YouTube? It seems to me that when I'm on YouTube, it seems to know what I'm up to, if you know what I mean.
Oh, absolutely. You've got to remember that YouTube is owned by Google. So YouTube is Google, essentially. So everything that Google knows about you, YouTube knows, and vice versa, which I must admit I find disturbing if I've just watched some, like, cheesy pop songs.
Yeah, if you watch
YouTube.
Justin Bieber for research purposes, because, you know, you're doing a story on Hillsong or whatever,
purposes,
and
yeah.
Suddenly he thinks you're a fan.
What's the reason why some videos have ads and some don't have ads at all? Like, they just go straight to the song or the talk or whatever it is, you know? And
mostly that's when the person who's provided the video has chosen to sell advertising on it. Or let's say that you make a family movie at home and it's your 7-year-old nephew and he's playing just in the garden, and you mix that with a pop song as the backing track. The music company doesn't want to come down on you like an ogre. So what they'll do is they say, well, you need to pay for the use of the music, so we'll just occasionally pop an ad up. And quite often it'll be an ad for the song saying, would you actually now like to buy that song?
Have you had some experiences of this, Andrew, of finding it a bit freaky what they know about you?
Oh, well, it's just, I sort of, when I think about it, it does make sense. But if you like it on Facebook or Twitter, if, you know, when it says share or add to those, so if you email your friends about it, can they charge more for an ad then?
Well, the charge for the ad, well, they can certainly work out how to target that. And I should, you know, tell people that if they give their email to a service like Google's Gmail or Microsoft's Hotmail or whatever, the reason that they are doing that for free is that they are scanning the contents of your email for the things that you discussed to find out what you like.
Everyone knows that, you know, on the right-hand side there are context-specific ads, but then you're saying, still it goes deeper than that.
Well, that's right. I mean, if they then, they can sell ads, and the pricing to get to Andrew's question is really up to the person selling the ad. And Google in particular works on this amazingly complicated real-time bidding system where I say, I would like to show ads to people who like Justin Bieber and live within 10 kilometres of Homebush and therefore maybe thinking about going to the Hillsong event, and I am willing to pay 30 cents for each person who clicks through, and I have a budget of $10,000 that I'd like to spend over the next month. And Google has this complicated formula to balance that out against other advertisers who've said, look, I'm not so fussy about when this happens, but I'm willing to pay 50 cents.
So the price is sort of floating, Andrew, I guess. Does that help?
I know one quick way, one little shortcut for getting past an ad, to Control-R in your browser, and it relates to themselves. It just puts another ad there anyway, and it doesn't really work.
All right, thank you, Nicole, Andrew.
Yeah, if you reload the page, then Google's magic advertising calculating fairies have another go at working out, okay, so which ad shall I show this time?
I did
a terrible experiment with this one day when, the Heath Ledger died, when he passed. And I, as an experiment, put up I bought ads on the keyword Heath Ledger dead, which were within about 40 minutes of the news coming out that he'd actually died. And initially I could get a click through on Heath Ledger dead for like 5 cents. But then after about an hour or 90 minutes after that, the big news sites related to certain large news organisations were suddenly willing to pay $1.50, $2 per click through to go to their site.
How utterly macabre. All right. Stu Gerrion's here talking about how advertisers profile you, and look, I guess this comes back to the mantra that we often hear still, which is that if it's free, you're the product.
Absolutely. We are the cattle going to the slaughter.
Andrew's in Mittagong. Hello, Andrew.
Hello, Don. How are you going?
Now, Stu Gerrion's here with us talking tech. What do you want to know?
Well, the question is, I've never known whether this is something sinister or whether it's marketing or whatever it is. I occasionally get a text message coming through to my mobile phone, and it'll simply say, as if it's the person sending it to me, photo, as if it's their name, like it's come out of my address book, and then it says, new photo for you, and it'll have a hyperlink. I've never opened it.
Oh, dear. I'm glad you haven't opened it.
I'm presuming it's a virus.
You would be correct there, Andrew, yes.
How on earth would that just arrive on a mobile phone?
If nothing else, you can just choose phone numbers at random and give them a go.
It may not be a virus. It may be a scam that you're in some database somewhere and people are sending you links.
No, look, it's 90% likely you click on that link.
Oh, sorry, the link is to a virus, there's not a virus necessarily on your phone at this point.
No. It's only if you click through, you will go to a malicious website which will attempt to then infect your phone. And it's something that I think is worth repeating tonight in particular, because firstly, most people are probably not running much in the way of defensive software on their phones. And we are seeing a lot more of that kind of thing. But also at this time of year, end of financial year, I've noticed a big surge in email, and the same will be happening with messages saying, these are just the receipts we need corrected, or, you know, here's your claim, whatever, or the invoice that seems to be wrong. Can you look at that? And there's a zip file attached, and you know, obviously it's not really an invoice from anyone you've done business with. So it's, again, watch out. I know there's a great rush for people to get all of their financial stuff done over the next few weeks, but that's exactly the time when you're not paying attention that the bad guys try and take advantage of it.
Be very careful with links. Thanks for that, Andrew.
Very good.
You're wise not to click on them. Yeah, look, there's increasingly they're sort of sorting unfamiliar messages over to the side, so you don't click on them. All right, so look, we've talked a lot about this. Let's take one more call from John. We've got other things to discuss as well. Hello there, Michael. Oh, no, not Michael, John from Blacktown, sorry.
G'day.
G'day, John.
Now, you've got some experience with this data mining.
Yes, yeah, I used to work in the loyalty team on with one of these large supermarkets, can't say which one.
Sure.
There's so many to choose from, aren't there, John?
All of two. But this was about 7 years ago. I was in there for quite a few years. And we could tell the day a person got pregnant.
Uh-huh.
We could tell exactly the family makeup.
Mm-hmm.
You'd be surprised what could be worked out. And obviously, you know, privacy comes into a lot of this and you can't use that data. But what can be worked out is pretty amazing. And that is then shared down to, you know, on your receipt when it prints out.
And is this just from actually, you know, not actually the internet being involved, but what customers do?
Oh, just frequent flyers.
Yeah.
It's just your point system.
Mm,
and
your
scanning and all that data builds a spectacular picture.
So web, there's still... That's why all the discounts are there to build a picture of you.
I'm glad you mentioned that, John, because this is one of the classic examples. In Australia, we are not allowed to do certain kinds of merging data to create a new kind of picture. And and I will say that the major supermarkets in Australia and the Australian data miners, you know, they do the right thing by the law as far as they can. Obviously, they push the edge. You know, they're in business like anyone else.
They know exactly all that they can find out, but they only use what they can.
That's right. In the United States, look, I won't say it's completely open slather, but it pretty much is that. And one of the classic examples that's been used for the last few years is, in fact, Target in the United States working out, again, when a young woman had become pregnant, you can pick it up from the shopping list.
Totally different company from Target Australia.
Should make that point.
Clear, it's just the same brand.
Yeah, it's weird, isn't it, like that? It's like the Woolworths around the world are all different companies as well. But, you know, a woman's shopping list will suddenly go to unscented body lotion, not scented. Certain vitamins will come in. There's a whole lot of shifts because she's had her first appointment with the doctor and the doctor's told her all of the lifestyle changes she needs to make now that she's about to become a mother, and that shows up in the shopping list.
This is really fascinating stuff. We've got to move on. John, thanks for the call.
You're welcome.
And Jim rang in from Port Macquarie talking about targeted ads when you travel. I particularly notice if you search for, you know, rooms anywhere, they know where you are for ages. Sorry, you don't got time, Jim, but appreciate the call. Still going, there's one more thing I want to ask you about, which is the topical thing. There's so many things we want to talk about, but this is a really huge one. The idea of everything you do on the web, they build up a profile. These rainbow pictures on Facebook, and Facebook, I think, released an app which makes people's photos turn rainbow in support of same-sex marriage. There's a lot of people have been
happy days in the United States.
What's going on?
Many people wanted to celebrate that and so on, and Facebook wanted to be part of that. What's come up is the whole question, so is this another of Facebook's little experiments? And look, at one level, I would say yes, in the sense that everything Facebook does is an experiment. They're constantly measuring what they do and seeing what the effect is and so on. But it's a curious question. How does the decision for someone to take on what is effectively a political cause, in this case going rainbow for the US court decision, how does that spread through a community? What can you infer about people's actual beliefs from that? And it turns out that 2 years ago, back in 2013, there was a burst of people using a red Facebook logo with a white equals sign on it for marriage equality.
They changed their profile photo to the equals sign.
Yeah. So they kind of monitored that, and although it's not a proper experiment in that there's a control group and some people did and some people didn't, they had a look at how that spread, and interestingly enough, it's different from how cat pictures spread.
Oh.
In that there's no social stigma attached to sending cat pictures out. But for something like saying you support marriage equality, particularly in certain parts of the United States, that can cause you a bit of trouble with other members of your family.
Yeah, that's very
interesting. With your boss at work, it can get you sacked and so on. So they found that it actually took, the term they used was social proof. You actually needed to see enough people in your circle of friends doing it before you went, oh, I'll give that a go too. Now, obviously, to some people, it's no big deal, and they immediately went, yep, rainbow flag for me.
Some people were gingerly about how they got into it.
And oddly enough, it kind of matches some research done back in 1964. There was actually a thing called the freedom can't read my writing here, but it was in Mississippi, and they tried to get students to go into black households and convince them to register to vote in Mississippi in 1964.
Yeah,
so that's a big political statement for them to make. And a researcher at Stanford by the name of Doug McAdam found out that for someone to register to become one of these volunteers, they had to fill out a form with their name and address and their phone number, and they found that the people who signed up to become a volunteer, and they're both black and white students were doing this and say, hey, you people get out and vote, it's important. The thing that was the biggest factor in whether they took part in that political action or not was the strength of the social connections around and who else in their circle of friends was doing it and so on.
Weight in numbers. I'd love to see the rainbow thing versus the equals versus the Christian Arabic logo that was used when ISIS were picking on people
In 2009, the turning your profile green for Tehran, movement in Tehran. I'm sure that we'll see some visualizations of this over maps and stuff coming out soon. So the question that I then, to tie all of that into a neat little scary bundle is, of course, we have an American presidential election campaign coming up, and how will all this feed into how the political parties choose to advertise on Facebook and Twitter, how they choose to communicate
their message? Will they be able to do a different ad for people who've gone rainbow and a different those who haven't?
They could already do that. They can already target ads depending on what brand breakfast cereal you buy.
You're the product, as we say. Thank you very much, Stilgarian.
Pleasure, Dom. Sleep well.
You can read his writing at ZDNet, Crikey, and various other places as well. It is 9:05, and in a few moments we're going to take you to Greece.